First item is the minutes of September 15, 2010. Do I have any, anyone have any changes to it?
Second.
All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed? Thank you very much. Move now to the maintenance division. Vessel. Better not screw up. You're still on probation, right?
You're still on probation?
My wife says I've been on probation for 26 years, Mr. Chairman. So.
You will be to the day you die.
Well, you haven't been suspended yet.
Sorry, Chair.
Mr. Chairman, we have five items for business. I'm not sure exactly how you would like to take them up. I have the understanding that the board members have the information in front of them. I can speak to any questions that they might have. But I believe these actions are of a very routine nature.
Does anybody have any issues? Want to do it on block?
Move to approve the five in a block.
Second.
All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed? That's a pretty good first time out.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
You started on a roll. Okay. Local Assistance Division, Mr. Estes.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Item six is an economic development access project in Frederick County. It's under the bonded concept, and this board approved the first phase for this project back in June, and the county has come back to us for phase two. And staff is recommending the full allocation of $500,000 unmatched with $150,000 matched.
Okay. I want to just point out, Mr. Davies, Dr. Davis wasn't here tonight today, but he just sent an email that everything with the Stanton District he's fine with. So. Do we have a motion?
On his behalf, I'll move approval.
Second.
All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed? Thank you very much.
Mr. Chairman, item seven. Start with, I guess, 7A with Augusta County. I guess before I do that, if you don't mind, Mr. Chairman, would hope the board had sent a letter on the revenue sharing program that went out last week. I sent that to you on an email. I think that was something we discussed last month and wanted you to be aware that we sent out the call for letters of intent for next year's program on that. But as far as item 7A is in Augusta County, and 7B would be the same thing in Hanover, where the locality has asked that we move money either from a canceled project or a completed project that was a revenue-sharing project to an existing project on their secondary six-year plan. They just don't happen to be revenue-sharing projects that are approved by the board. And that's what these two actions are for.
Well, just welcome. Just neither of you. We have a motion on both. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed? Thank you very much.
Item 8, Mr. Chairman, is kind of the last action we're asking the board to consider on the discussion we had last month on the transfer of Columbia Pike in Arlington County from the primary system of state highways to the local road system. And what this does is it follows on with the movement of the allocation of funds from the Northern Virginia District's maintenance budget for the remainder of the year to cover the maintenance payment that we're going to pay Arlington County.
Chairman, Mr. McCarthy's absence, I'll move the approval.
Arlington.
Mr. Chairman, this is a savings to the state, as I understand it, as we adjust the payment to Arlington.
No, I think we're sending them money.
It's been moved, isn't it?
It's a zero-sum gain to the state for this budget. Now, of course, the county will testify that they're going to spend more than this in the annual.
I move its approval.
Okay. Have a second.
Is this in relation to the properties we deeded to them?
Yes, and now we're
Columbia Pike.
So we went from this is the maintenance money.
We did not have a recorded no vote on that last time.
No, we didn't.
I'm going to vote no this time just because of the actions that we received back from that towards some of our officials and towards some of our toward this organization.
Well, we have a motion. I'm sorry, was there a second?
Second.
Yes.
Second.
Okay.
All right.
Forward.
All those in favor, say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed?
No.
Ayes have it. Mr. Estes.
Mr. Chairman, item number nine is, again, a follow-up to last month's workshop where we had a discussion on the EDA policy on the bonded program and the payback issue on the inability for some localities to bring documented investments to the sites where we provided access to the sites. You heard from two county administrators as well last month. this resolution is basically calls into effect a moratorium where we won't be calling bonds for 2 years, the two fiscal years, this current fiscal year and next fiscal year.
Mr. Martin, do you have a motion? Have a second?
Second.
All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed? Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Right of way, Mr. Bennett.
Yes, sir. Item number 10 is requesting permission to dispose of four surplus properties. One is in Loudoun County near Ashburn. The second one is in Nottoway County near in Brookdale. The third is in Campbell County, just east of Lynchburg, and the fourth is in Scott County near Duffield. I'm glad to answer any questions.
Mr. Drake, sorry. Should we take them individually? You want to take them all at once?
All at once.
All at once. All right, under 10, we have a motion on 10.
Moved.
Second.
All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed? 11.
Yes, sir. Item 11 is a limited access control change. As I indicated earlier, we require some for some projects. The city of Portsmouth built a roundabout, changing some interchange ramps, which now require the change in the limited access control lines.
Move approval, Mr. Chairman. It's about a half an acre on Crawford Street, and been through this with Mr. Ewer. It seems fine, so I'll move approval.
Second.
All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed? Item
12. In addition, item 12 is a limited access change. It's in connection with the Dulles Metro Rail Extension Project. As that's a design-build project, certain elements are being developed as the project is being constructed, and this is a group of changes for power stations and other items that require some minor modifications in the limited access location.
I move this approval, Mr. Chairman.
Do you have a second?
Second.
All those in favor say aye.
All right.
Thank you. Great job. Programming division, Ms. Busher.
Mr. Chairman, members of the board, the first item, number 13, would be to add approximately $2,500,000 in projects to the six-year program. The bulk of these projects are safety projects that have that are being allocated out of what we call the balance entry. Those funds have not yet been allocated to projects, so we have, I think it's 11 safety projects, an urban project in Fairfax, and three CMAC projects in Herndon. So these are all new projects to the program.
Are there any questions?
Mr. Chairman, I have a question on that. On the Herndon thing, am I reading this right? We're giving away cars here? We're buying cars and giving away?
This is CMAC funding that goes to the MPO in Northern Virginia for the procurement of hybrid vehicles.
So we have $300,000 worth of automobiles that were. This is. I have a concern about this. I mean, we just heard about the tremendous need in Tidewater in Northern Virginia. And, I mean, we're not the Oprah Winfrey Show. We're not giving away cars. This is the first I've ever heard of such a thing.
This is congestion mitigation federal funding
yeah.
for the environmental purposes in the MPO. It's their ability to program these monies according to the federal guidelines on
couldn't we do some improvements on some of the infrastructure other than this? Like
it's the MPO choice in these particular
programs. So I would like to separate that because I'm not going to vote for giving away cars.
I've kind of, the same thing triggered. I've never seen it used for what appears might be that we're sort of replacing what would be their operational costs on a normal basis. I mean, are these city or municipal vehicles that they're planning to utilize, and so we're just simply, they're using CMAC funds to replace what they otherwise would fund through their own budget?
Yes.
Now, if they want to do a turn lane or something that makes sense to alleviate air pollution or something like this, but I'm just not going to vote. The budget's the way we have right now.
I'm not sure we can.
The needs in Northern Virginia, What we just heard in Hampton Roads, I'm not going to associate my name with giving away $300,000 in cars. As I say, this is not the Oprah Winfrey Show.
Mr. Coleman?
I understand the substantive concerns about the use of the money, but I think we need a clarification about the CPB's role here. In fact, these are federal funds that are designated for certain purposes, whether we like it or not. These are monies that are actually programmed by the MPO, whether we like it or not, and there's basically nothing we can do about it. Now, I realize that's a difficult thing to say, but part of our responsibility is to carry out the law and the programs that are put before us. So if we want to question this expenditure, we certainly can do so, but we can't do it through this process, and we can't actually not approve what the MPO has decided to do. We can only take affirmative action.
That's cool. Well, I'm pretty sure about that.
It's a pretty interesting box to be in.
Mr. Chair, you raise an interesting point, but can we confirm that the MPOs are all following the federal laws when they do this? I mean, there's some reports out there that they may not be quite understanding what the federal law tells them they can and can't do with these fundings. And I've never heard of buying vehicles with CMAQ, not this type of vehicle. I've certainly heard them for bus services and things of that nature. Yeah. But that's rapid transit. This looks to me like a municipality is upgrading its own fleet of vehicles instead of using its operational budget like it should. It's dipping into CMAQ funds, which should be used for
projects. There are other ways they could use this money within the federal
We have approved this kind of purchase previously.
I don't disagree with my colleagues on the uses of money. I mean, we certainly do that ourselves, to see what the best way to use our funds is. Our funds are. But the problem is at this stage, that discussion's already been concluded. And what we're presented with here is a decision by the MPO. The MPO actually is granted monies directly through federal programs, not through us. It's simply as an authorization mechanism, we have to actually authorize it.
I make a motion to send this back to the MPO with a recommendation that they find a better way to use this for CMAQ purposes.
Well, okay, I'm sorry. Why don't we do this? Everything else other than that, you're okay with?
Yeah, sure.
Okay. So if you're making a motion to approve the resolution with the exception of the three items.
Yes.
Regarding the town of Herndon. And ask for further explanation.
I will.
Okay. And that's the motion. The motion is to approve all these projects, with the exception of the three in Herndon, and that the three from Herndon were asking for further explanation and to ensure compliance with.
Okay. Yeah.
Substitute motion?
Yeah.
Well, no, he hasn't made that. He's making the motion. The main motion.
I accept his friendly amendment.
No. You made. No one's
somebody
made a
motion.
You're making the motion. That's the motion he's making.
There's no substitute.
He didn't accept the
motion. I make the motion just as a secretary outline.
I'll second.
Okay.
Discussion?
Yes, Mr. Garzinski.
I just want a further clarification that if we find that the MPO is acting within its authority and it is federal funds and they're following the procedure that's already has a precedent, then are the funds then released if we find that to be true with the motion?
My motion is
they'd have to come back.
They'd have to come back.
Okay.
I just didn't vote on the motion, but then I have a question. It's not going to change my vote on this motion, so I'll ask my question after we vote.
Sure. Okay.
Can I, all those, Ms. Coleman?
What's that?
Can I speak to the motion?
Yes.
You know, I would ask my colleagues to think carefully about this. You need to actually go into the MPO priority project selection process in a much more deep way. Each time we actually have the submissions from the MPOs, definitely, as the Secretary has suggested since he's been Secretary, we should have greater collaboration between the MPOs and this body in choosing priorities and setting priorities and so forth. And I think the briefings we've gotten from the MPOs over these meetings have helped us understand that they're faced also with constraints and difficulties and setting priorities and so forth. But I think it's a dangerous precedent for us to begin to go into the MPO decisions piecemeal and attempt to second-guess what they put together. You know, that isn't the problem that's facing Virginia, is that MPOs might be buying a hybrid vehicle when maybe I have a different priority. The problem is there's not enough resources to go around in this process. Also, the framework in which they're working. If this was a hybrid bus, why wouldn't we question that as well? If it was a turn lane we didn't really like, as some people don't like, say, on Route 7 in Northern Virginia, we could second-guess that one, too. But it opens up a big can of worms in my mind. I think our job is not to second-guess MPOs. It's to set priorities clearly and help provide for the resources that are necessary to build the networks in Virginia. And understanding that a partner in that process actually are the localities, are the cities and towns, are the regional planning associations and bodies. So I would urge you to vote against this motion.
Would the gentleman yield for a minute?
I would urge you to vote against this motion simply because it opens up a huge can of worms and it doesn't actually get at the root of the problem, which is inadequate revenues.
Would the gentleman yield just a second?
No, I want to ask my question.
There's no yield. It's just you're on
the bridge. Okay. If we're going to talk about second-guessing, this is the same MPO that's second-guessing us on Route 66, on the Beltway, the same MPO that says, I think we give, $100 million to Metro. They don't want the Commonwealth to even sit on the MPO, and yet they want this money. It's a two-way street here. And I think if we're going to put our names on something, if the general public knew that the budget problems we're having, we're putting money into this, I think they would hang us.
Mr. Chairman?
Yeah, Mr.
Mr. Coulombe, three, 4 weeks, a month ago, I might have agreed that, yes, the CMPO's role, but an issue came up within a Federal Highways audit where an MPO may not be exactly complying with federal law. And the response coming out of the MPO was, well, VDOT approved it, and VDOT's being blamed for approving it, us approving these things. So I think that we need to make sure that the law is being followed. When we see something that it caused me to scratch my head because I haven't seen it before, and it doesn't seem to comply with everything I've heard in terms of the use of CMAQ funds, I don't think it's unreasonable to ask for a legal clarification of whether or not they're doing it appropriately. This may not be a legally appropriate use of CMAQ funds. It may be, but I certainly want to know beforehand so that when it takes place, if it isn't legal, that they're not saying, well, that's VDOT's fault for approving it.
Mr. Chairman, can I ask my question? I decided to ask it before we voted. You know, I'm not familiar with this process, but I heard the staff saying offline and perhaps somebody at the table that we didn't have a choice. Now, the concept that I have to vote affirmative on something because I don't have a choice leads me to the conclusion that why is it come here to begin with? Mm-hmm. If we don't have oversight, then I don't understand why it's here to be approved and we can't disapprove it. That just makes no sense to me. So I don't know if it's the case whether we had the authority to say no, but if we don't have the authority to bring it in here and waste the time of this discussion is sort of ridiculous.
Well,
it should be an administrative thing.
Mr. Miller, on the one hand, we don't have this discretion. We are a pass-through when it comes to these funds. And it goes to the MPOs, and they're the ones to decide how the money is spent. However, we generally are responsible for the money. So you want to, so we can't tell them how to spend it.
Can we tell them how to not spend it?
I'm not quite sure.
I mean, if we can't do either, I'm not trying to be argumentative. I'm trying to understand. If we can't do either, then why are we even talking about it?
Oh, I know. Listen, you want to see these feds get all of Twitter with me. All of Twitter with me because I end up saying on some federal money that we're just a passer. They got very upset. They said, no, you're not a passer. You're responsible for the funds. And I said, well, but we can't tell them how to spend it and how to use it or anything. You're still responsible.
I don't know what that means. If I'm responsible, then I get to say yes or no. If I don't get to say yes or no, I'm not responsible. It really doesn't care. I don't care whether somebody wants to pretend I am or not. I'm not.
But if it isn't in compliance, they will throw us under the bus.
We have this situation in the TPO in Hampton Roads. It was brought up earlier in Mr. Worley's presentation about the $130 million on projects that allocated out that nobody looked at or didn't follow up on. About half of that's in Hampton Roads. Some of those projects completed. It's a similar thing. They're pointing fingers at, was it VDOT's fault? Was it the TPO's fault? The whole bit. So from my reading of looking at what we're charged with, it's allocating the resources. And I guess from my point of view, I think we do have the ability to say no, or we don't understand why this is. And I don't think that is, I think that's in our charter. I really believe that's what we're chartered to do, to allocate.
And I would just add, if it is in our charter, then we do have an obligation to look at it and see, is it responsible to the law and the regulation and so forth. And if we don't think that it is, then it's incumbent on us to say, we don't think it is. And take, you know, with responsibility goes responsibility. You can't have it both ways. I mean,
let me bring it back.
I don't get you. Thank you.
But if the MPO, I'll argue on the other side that if the MPO comes back and say, we are in compliance, we're trying to meet the federal mandate of iced tea on air control in Northern Virginia, which is always a big issue, and this meets it, then what do?
We don't have a choice. Then it shouldn't come before this body. Period. If it comes before the body to vote on, not for information, but to vote on, then we have a choice by definition.
But there can't, Mr. Chairman, there can't be just one way to meet your CMAQ requirements and buy an automobile. There are many other ways that I think the taxpayers could understand. And I'm just not going to put my name on anything like this.
Okay, just call me, just go ahead and vote.
Yeah.
All those in favor, say aye.
Aye.
All
aye.
Those opposed?
No.
I think the ayes have it. The motion is to pass with everything except for those items for the town of Herndon, and we want that.
We will bring that
back after
more information.
Could you also bring back some clarity on what our authority is and what our responsibility is? Because I would vote against the motion if I didn't have the right to vote no. I mean, I would vote against the motion if I didn't have a right to question it. Or I would say, why is it coming in here?
It might be also...
I need to understand that.
It might be also helpful for the board members to know what all kinds of alternatives are out there to meet these CMAQ requirements that might make more sense to the taxpayers. If we could have, let us just have a list as an example. I think it would be quite helpful.
But that does go back to somewhat of a policy discussion to the MPO saying this is what we prefer you do to meet your CMAQ request. So be prepared for that because you are getting into...
Maybe they'll let us carry forward on 66 and Beltway and they'll let our secretary sit on the MPO.
We'd love all that.
Well, I mean, that brings up a real interesting discussion right now about MPOs. You realize the only region in the state that does not have a Virginia-specific MPO is Northern Virginia, which is causing some issues for us, I think, because it is the Washington region. We can have a separate MPO if there's a desire. But that's another issue. We'll kind of bring this back. So we've got, in addition to this, if you can get at the same time, obviously we've got a couple months. But an explanation about what our role is and what we can't do, as well as the general program on RRSDP and CMAQ money.
Okay, item number 14.
Mr. Chairman, members of the board, we must bring back to the CTB 10 transfers between projects in the six-year program that are greater than 10%. And I have a series of those transfers attached. Funding is being moved off of projects where the estimate has come down, perhaps if it's gone out to bid. We've also, for projects closed and their remaining funds, we're moving it to another active project in the program, and these have all been vetted with the district's board members. Yes?
On page 4 and page 5, you got what looks like, if I understand correctly, two reductions of $32 million.
These are the safety
Yeah, but they look like it's the same. It's the same number. Is that the? Are these two different actions within there? Or is that a redundant occurrence?
There's.
Yes, like it's.
We're taking money off of 7,700 and moving it to 81,296. It is 900,000 apparently of one type of money on the UPC and 100,000 of another type of money on that same UPC, both being moved. We're showing it as two lines.
Required allocations.
Two different, there's highway safety, there's primary formula, there's high-risk rural, high-risk state balances. The 900,000 is coming from which one?
So both of these million dollars come from the balance entry to the 81,296.
No, we know that. Is it in two line items because it's coming from two different sources? Ah, thank you.
Okay, so both are the same UPC. One's federal, one state. We're taking money off of each to put it towards. Okay.
Another.
Hopefully, I don't.
I should have done the math. The 100,000 is the match.
Mr. Chairman.
Yes.
I have a question. Mine goes from page 9 to page 11. Was there supposed to be a page 10?
Mine goes from 9 to 11 as well. We could be missing a page. Oh.
I have a 10.
Must be a page break issue.
Here, let me break one up.
Chairman, move approval of the transfers.
Second.
For any further discussion, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed? Thank you very much. Administrative Services Commission. Mr. Campbell.
Mr. Chairman, we are seeking the board's approval to proceed with sale of the closed Culpeper Residency office and also with the adjacent east area headquarters, East Culpeper area headquarters, located right adjacent to the residency office.
Second. Any further discussion?
One question.
Sure.
As I understand it, the money, this is a VDOT property.
Yes, sir.
But the money doesn't come back to VDOT; it goes to the general fund.
No, sir. That's not my understanding.
Do we get it back?
We once you approve it. I put it together in a package with your resolution, and I send it to the Department of General Services. They have a division of real estate services that takes care of the sale.
Right.
Now, they will deduct their expenses, appraisal and survey and, you know, and their expenses, which, you know, I don't know, $10,000 or less. But then what's left over comes back to VDOT's big pot, is the way I understand.
Yeah, because someone told me we don't get it, and I was going to raise Cain about that.
That's not my, and I think we'll find it in the law book.
All those in favor? Yes, Mr. Cain.
Just the closing of the office does not necessarily give you the declaration that we no longer need the property. Has that been evaluated?
That's my understanding. I talked to the district administrator, and he was
happy
with this.
It's been thoroughly coordinated with VDOT management.
Doesn't it say in the last paragraph it's declared surplus and with provisions of Section 4-509, that means it can be sold?
Yes, sir. I think the last whereas on the first page says we have to, by law, we have to get you to declare it surplus. And I think the next whereas on the second page says we have to get you to approve the conveyance.
And dispose of the property pursuant to the Code of Virginia.
Yes, sir.
All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed? Thank you very much.
Mr. Chairman.
Mr. Worley.
Just for clarification, we have gone through all of our facilities, those that are closed, and looked at those and sent a report and to the General Services and to the legislature, identifying those facilities we think that could be surplus or sold. So this was just one of them, but we coordinated that with all of the districts, and they reviewed each property and gave us their assessment. And we're now, soon we'll be in the process of disposing of more properties.
Mr. Chairman,
yes,
my comments come from what I heard earlier, that maybe we've cut back too far with the footprint and with the blueprint, and as we look forward, you know, I know one region had a closure of three. So if we've cut too far and the evaluation says we've cut too far and we need that office, then we shouldn't sell it before we make that determination.
Mr. Chairman, one of the things that we did, any of those properties where we thought was in question, we are leasing the property now, not selling it. So while the property is shut down, we would be leasing it to generate income. But we're not selling those that would be in question.
Okay. Next item, Mole Office of Intermodal Planning and Investment, Mr. Tyer.
Last month I made a presentation explaining where we were going in the future with the Office of Intermodal Planning, and essentially we're going to do corridors of statewide significance studies for the CTB, fund the Office of Intermodal Planning, and fund the PPTA office, and I really don't have anything to add to last month's presentation.
Any discussion? Have a motion?
So moved.
Second. We have a second?
Second.
Oh, I'm sorry. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Thank you very much. Mr. Sales. Kevin, some good news.
Good afternoon. I do have good news. We continue to get real good competitive bids. We're still averaging over four bids per project. Prices are rising a little bit. It's what we've seen, and we do have market saturation in a couple of areas. But on the projects I bring before you today, these eight projects are valued at about $100 million. They represent good value, and I'm asking for your concurrence.
Want to take them in mass?
Yeah, I'm moving to take them in mass.
All those in favor?
Second.
I'm sorry. Do we have a motion?
Motion.
Second.
Second.
All those in favor, say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Thank you very much. New business, we have this item on the bonds for Capital Beltway Funding Corp. Didn't they hand them out?
It was passed out. That should be at your desk. It was passed out during the presentation.
Mr. Chairman, I move the approval.
Second.
Do you have any discussion on this? All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Any other new business? Okay, with that, that's our last items. I just want to point out to everyone, we are not meeting in November. The next meeting will be up at the Transportation Conference, especially the first day of the Transportation Conference up in Roanoke. We'll be meeting in the morning, and then in the afternoon the conference will start. So we will not meet until December 7th, right?
December 8th.
December 8th at 9 o'clock.
9th at the conference.
Okay.
December 8th.
At the Hotel Roanoke.
And then the conference is received the days after.
Yes.
That ends on the noon about Friday.
Yeah. So what the conference is that afternoon, all day on the 9th, and then half a day on the 10th. Okay. With that, thank you all very much. Thank you.